This is a HeadGum Podcast.
We're off to a bad start. We should just stop now.
I agree with you. I've agreed with you since the beginning.
It's time for Punch the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Punch
the GM.
Chip the Jam. This is the podcast where I'm Yael Brado trying to make the greatest hits even greater. The operative word is try. I have never succeeded once, but I will keep trying because I'm stubborn as hell and very arrogant. Chris Fleming, temporary co-host, thank you for joining me again. You're an angel. Did you know that?
I'll let other people say that about me, but I myself will not say that.
Really? I think you should start.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm an angel, I guess. Yeah. Now that I really think about it.
Today, of all days, is the day that finally, you don't understand how important this is to be covering this song. Of course, Four Non-Blondes, what's up? This, when Demi was still on the show, we had once a month Patreon perk of letting Patreon choose which song we punched up. And this was the last ever one Patreon chose before everything changed. However, due to some scheduling stuff, we never actually taped the episode.
Ooh.
So all of my OG patrons are like, what happened to the What's Up episode?
And so this when is the last episode. We're doing the last episode right now.
We're making it now.
Wow. So in a way, this has always existed.
Yes. It's been like over a year in the making, or maybe just under. I'm not good at math. Don't ask me to do math. Why are you asking me to do math?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm already leveled with a sense of deja vu already. So I think this is what that is. Okay.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
Sorry, what's up?
What's up?
Just a quick little Four Non-Blondes joke, kind of ironic to blondes are talking about this song. Whatever. It's off the 1992 album, but it wasn't released as a single until 1993. Guess the countries it peaked at number one in. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Guess them, and I'll give you $10,000.
You're about to make me guess. I have to guess 11 nations right now. This is like what a bad parent. This is a game a bad parent does with their child because they haven't planned anything. I have to guess 11 nations. Okay.
Okay. I'll
Finland,
give you a clue.
Germany, Switzerland, Austria-Hungary.
You've gotten three of them.
Pangea.
You actually got three of them. Austria, Switzerland, and Germany, correct. Belgium.
Western Massachusetts.
Iceland, Ireland, the Netherlands, Norway, Poland, and Sweden. Europe absolutely went apeshit for this song. Also, have you ever noticed that the title of the song is What's Up, but that's not the chorus of the song? The chorus of the song is What's Going On?
Well, yeah, because their next single is going to be Not Much. And then the next one after that was going to be You. What am I talking about?
You've done four episodes of Punch of the Jam and your brain's been corrupted like mine. Welcome to hell, brother.
I'm losing my goddamn mind.
No, it's because they thought it would avoid confusion with Marvin Gaye's song, What's Going On. So they just chose a synonym. What's
wow.
Up is never said in this song.
What a Gen Xer move. They don't give a shit.
How many people were like, oh, man, what's that What's Going On song or that Hey song? And everyone's like, you mean What's Up? A sentence, again, never uttered in the 4 minutes of song.
Rob Moose is going to say that if you play it backwards, that's all. It's just one big what's up. It's like the Budweiser commercial.
Budweiser commercials. Yeah. The chorus is just what's up.
That'd be a good punch up. All right. Game over. Going to bed. We've done it. Everybody have a nice evening. Thank you so much for coming. Good night. I'm going back into my gondola. Thank you.
The producer, David Tickle, real name,
come
thank you.
On. Get out. No, no,
it's
no.
His real name.
No.
It's his real name.
No, I got to do a lap around the house. His name is David Tickle.
That's not even the craziest part about him. I wrote in my notes, seems to be a real dick. He was like such an aggressive producer. And I do have to wonder how much of that was like, a man trying to assert dominance over like an out woman in a time where being out was like so controversial still.
Yeah.
But like, do you know, by the way, how out Linda Perry was? She performed with a Dyke sticker on her guitar on the Billboard Music Awards and David Letterman.
I didn't
like,
know that.
In 1993.
But it seemed, I mean, just by listening to the song, I mean, that is, it.
Oh, this song is so canon gay. Like, you can't hear it and not know that.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in a bad vegan restaurant in Western Mass that's owned by Gen Xers with dirty glasses whenever I listen to this song, you know?
That's the type of place I would love to go.
Old men in ponytails playing a community piano, yay. But it's like,
those are the types of place that had vegan food before it was trendy. I love that kind of spot.
That is right, but the community's so not ready for it, so they're like, they go way too hard into the showiness of it. You know what I mean?
I do. But I guess David Tickle was not so tickled by it. Or maybe...
Oh, come on.
Thank you. Take a moment for that. Thank you. He went so far as to try to change the lyrics, added a horrific guitar solo, and put a marching drum beat under this whole song. I mean, he just bastardized the entire song. And Linda Perry, trying to be polite, you know, I'm assuming for fear of seeming like she's not willing to work with a producer, lets him do it. He finishes. It sounds like absolute shit. I don't have a clip because the only place I could hear it is in the background of talking on like a VH1 video. So there was no way to grab clean audio. You can look it up if you want. She's like so... I don't know. She takes it all the way to the top. She goes to Jimmy Iovine. How do you say his last name? Iovine, you know, the fucking president of like Interscope or whatever he was at that time.
Personally, yeah, no, very well. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She plays in both versions, a demo she had made that was like kind of killing it when they were playing it on the road. And then this like really just terrible slick version that Mr. Tickle made. And Jimmy instantly was like, yeah, the demo's way better. So they end up that day, I guess, or in one day, re-recording the whole thing to be pretty much exactly the demo version, mixing it the same day. And that's what we know. And went on to sell fucking over 7 million copies.
Wait, so Tickle shit the bed and could have ruined Linda's career.
Yes. He kind of tried to, it seems.
Wow.
Linda, by the way, great segue. Linda's career... I had no idea. Four Non Blondes, I think, just made this one record and then disbanded quickly. They were kind of like a flash in the pan. Linda, however, she went on to write Get the Party Started for Pink.
Ooh.
Beautiful for Christina Aguilera.
Ooh, yeah.
What Are You Waiting for Gwen Stefani.
Oh, these are my Aunt Donna's favorite numbers. Okay, yeah.
But then get this. She also discovered and signed an artist who I'm so delighted by because it's another artist that sung in their hit single about getting or being high.
Oh, okay.
Can you guess who it is?
Getting or being high. Oh,
maybe even some might say fucking high.
Sublime.
Fucking high and I. It's James Blunt. She discovered James Blunt at South by Southwest, signed him, and is like largely responsible for why he had a career at all.
Oh my God.
Is that insane?
Wait, she's a producer as well?
She has a record label. I think maybe even two of them.
And she brought Blunt into the equation?
Yeah. She heard him on like, I think it said the 25th floor of some building in Austin and was like, yeah, this guy's onto something. And I guess like a lot of labels were trying to get him to change that part because they didn't want him to sing about being fucking high. And she was like, nah, dude, let's keep it in.
Are we thinking of the same James Blunt? Doesn't he sing the You're Beautiful? That's James
yeah.
Blunt, right?
Fucking high and I, that's the fucking
part. Oh, yeah,
part.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, is that truly about being high? Oh, okay. I thought, okay.
Yeah, he's
okay.
Saying he saw his ex-girlfriend with some hottie in the subway when he was really stoned.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
This is a stoner miracle that they found each other.
Did you know that the Babadook was based on David Tickle? I just looked up. And that originally they wanted it. The studio wanted David Tickle to play himself, but then they were like, no, I think we're going to actually maybe just make it a little bit more kind of horror whimsical. And we're going to like draw this Babadook in black and white. They're like, no, we got Tickle. Like, Tickle's signed on, and it's about him from Nordic folklore.
He's on for three of three-movie option.
Yeah, and they instead went with that 2D thing, which I think is interesting, but I think it could have been cool if Tickle did it. Because David Tickle is, I'm reading right now, he's huge in, it's like kind of like a spooky bedtime story for Nordic children. That's really interesting. Okay, cool.
I just have one other note for you that I chose from the Patreon specifically because I was like, this is going to tickle Chris.
Oh, good.
I'm not going to be able to stop saying tickle now.
Yeah.
Okay. Robin Masters says,
tickle me.
When I was about four.
Tickle me pink. Tickle me pink, please.
My stepmom had the CD and would play it on repeat in her Ford Bronco. She got, that's not even the funny part. She got into a wreck. She was fine. The truck was totaled. The only thing she was really concerned about was whether or not her Four Non Blonde CD was fine, as it was, quote, would really suck to not have What's Up to start my day off.
Oh, my God. Okay. That is incredible. And it should be like a haunting. Like it should be like a slow zoom at night of like the on the wreckage of the Bronco. Ooh. And it's like completely broken. Yeah. And then you just hear.
Ooh. And I try. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Four Non Blondes, it survives. It survives the crash, but like the steering wheel is gone. Wow. See, that's what this song, honestly, it sounds to me like what they play on independent radio in a place that knows it's not going to get any hipper and isn't even going to bother trying getting any hipper, you know?
I think it's just the nature of an anthem.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. It's some real like Amy Sherman Palladino shit, you know?
I think Amy Sherman Palladino modeled her entire personality off of the Four Non Blondes What's Up music video. I will say
that's what I'm saying. She built an empire around that vibe. That's all I could think about.
She was like, what if Linda Perry was straight though? I don't know if she's straight. I think she's straight.
Well, no, she is. She's married to a man. I don't know if that means, yeah. I don't know what that doesn't necessarily mean she's straight, but I love the nature of steampunk. That's what you would call their dress, right? In the music video.
I think this is top hat slander. I think all we see is a top hat. We're two hat obsessed folks. We're the hat heads. That's what's wrong with us.
Yeah, we just got hats on the mind.
Are you ready to get into the song?
Yeah, yeah, please, please.
Okay, let's go.
Oh, shoot.
Years and my life is still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination.
You know that guitar was just David Tickle opening his mouth?
There's something about this that makes me feel like I was at a house party where I didn't really know anybody, but for some reason I trusted most of the people there. They had kind eyes. So when someone handed me a space cake, I just took it without even checking the dosage. And when that bam, 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 that's when it kicks in.
For me, it's a real everyone's gone, party's over, but maybe that's okay.
I think those are somehow in the same family of vibe, actually.
It's like something about the rimming that snare in that abandoned bingo hall. You're covered in old tinsel, but no one else is with you. And you realize, oh, yeah, I should have left a long time ago.
There is something, I don't know, I can't quite put my finger on it. It's like there is I think it must be just the nature of it being like an anti-patriarchy song, that there is like a sense of melancholy that it feels like as the song progresses, like we quietly reclaim.
No, absolutely. Right, right. I mean, and still, it really does feel I know what you're saying, like there is something kind of arms around each other, but there's still like that kind of Gen Xer space between everybody. Like, I feel like, I feel like if you were to turn the lights on in your garage at any given time in the night, I would not be surprised to see four Gen Xers in each distant corner of the garage playing this and having a bad time and all, but like feeling close, even though they're so fucking far apart, you know, that's kind of, are we saying?
I also feel like they're all playing their own guitars. They're playing the same song. They're all slightly differently tuned.
Facing away. They're Blair Witching from each other. Yeah. Nose to the wall.
And this song would be really great for that because I will say it now. This song, four chords, the entire song. Same chords, same order, the entire song.
Wow. Is that the spirit of Rob Moose coming through you right now? Pulsing through your veins?
I know this because I have played this song many times. It's very easy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know what? I was listening. There's one part in particular that really, it's the vocal performance, the unhingedness of it. I was like, this seems like something that you would do. And
oh,
it sounded
are you
like
asking
you.
If I have a great Linda Perry impression? The answer is yes, I do. Maybe I'll get to use it on the punch up.
I mean, of course I know this. Of course, that's all I could see. That's like the first thing I knew even before I knew you. That's one of the first facts I was given as a neonate.
I want to talk about what she said. She said, 25 years and my life is still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination. It's like cryptic in a way that you don't really know what she's saying, but you know exactly what she's saying.
Yeah, and that is a complete little, that's a whole little speed bump mountain all in and of itself. You know, that's contained.
What?
Like each little thing, you're like, satisfied. I'm like satisfied. That would be enough for, it's like, you're like, okay.
It resolves completely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, I can go to bed now without any milk.
I'm hitting the next clip.
I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of this brotherhood of man. Or whatever that means.
There's something almost like parody-esque about her performance here.
I know. I completely agree with you.
I kind of, I mean, yes, I made a video of Dracula singing this song, so maybe that's what I'm thinking of, but like there is something a little Dracula-esque to me about this. Like the over kind of pronouncing and the like almost like dropping into falsetto, but not quite like a yodel instinct here. I realize quickly.
It's kind of sarcastic. It's almost like a Groundlings character.
Yeah. I also, listen, I'm obviously a millennial, but I didn't really know the word patriarchy probably until, I don't know, 2003. So it's really wild to me that she had a hit song just singing right about it in 1992.
You're just going to bury the lead that you found out about the concept of the patriarchy in 03? I don't think I learned about the patriarchy until 09.
Oh, really? I thought I was late to it.
New England's not tossing that term around all willy-nilly. West Coast, they're going to make that in your pancakes. They're going to spell that in tempeh.
In San Francisco, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
I wouldn't kid you. I'm not kidding you.
We got to get to the pre-chorus. I have to keep going.
Into a crisis. I'm feeling a little peculiar.
Yeah. Yeah, we can tell, Linda. We can tell by the manner in which you're speaking. Also, I'm worried. You just, on that second clip, Amy Sherman Palladino just showed up outside my window with a vacuum trying to suck the essence from my earbuds.
Wait, Chris.
Yes?
The top hat connection. Babadook, Amy Sherman Palladino, Linda Perry. We did it.
It's all happening. It's all happening. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's happening. I didn't think it would happen to me.
People toss around, you know, something that's like real, you know, like the smug use of the term Lilith Fair. Like people toss it around all willy nilly. Like it's like they're coming up with the most specific reference. You know, like, mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. The way people use that phrase, like describing something as Lilith Fair, like these are like Lilith Fair rejects for non-blondes. Like they're to me.
Really? I think they would have headlined.
No, I think they're playing in the parking lot getting booed by the Wellesley class of 94.
I also feel like it's really crazy to me that these lyrics are so appropriate for right now. I mean, patriarchy Ooh. Exempt, obviously that's still the case, but crying when you're lying in bed just to get it all out, what's in your head? I mean, that's how I feel every night of self-isolating.
I mean, again, I hate to bring this out, but you actually said the one thing that, I mean, to be on a high note, the one thing that did bring you a lot of joy was going to that protest yesterday to try to kind of calm down the quarantine restrictions. I'm just trying to cheer you up by bringing that up again. I don't agree with that, with what you did, but I just wanted to try and scuba dive down to bring you back up.
Thank you. Okay, and then he takes an audible sip of his boba. Chris, could you just be
a tiny bit less smug? I sucked it so hard it flew down my tube. It flew down the xylophone, pelican style, like a wet trout. It just it is lodged into my xiphoid process right now and is now a part of my body, like the Deku tree.
And so I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on?
So she, every morning, she wakes up, Jimmy flips out of bed, takes a noticeable exhale and screams, waking her neighbors, what's going on?
Again, this is my quarantine routine.
Yeah.
I stir from my bed. I hit that vape, that edible, that joint, whatever we have on hand. I roll into it. I don't even use my hands. I have it propped up with the clip so that by turning, it just lands in my mouth. Inhale, exhale in the same breath. What's going on?
And people are like, sir, a young boy, could you please put a mask on?
Truthfully, I have reverted to my most noble state, which is, of course, young boy. Thank you for seeing me.
the noble JV teen.
No, I mean like noble in the sense of like the elements, you know?
Oh, I thought you meant like, okay, got it. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. I'm on that noble shit. I'm not an educated woman.
You're far more educated than me, Chris. Please don't. Please don't pretend that I know more than you.
I spend my nights on the porch, waiting for a caller, waiting for my gentleman caller. Oh yeah, you don't like play references. I always try to reference the Glass Menagerie with you, but you say, hey, if there's not a 3D movie about it, I haven't consumed it. If it's not, the only book I've read is Breaking Bad. If it's not in 3D and the seats don't vibrate, Miel Wade hasn't read it.
Chris, you have to stop. My face hurts.
Okay, sorry.
So bad. Sorry. I can't. It's like, it's fantastic because I don't feel like I've laughed as hard this entire time of self-isolating, and simultaneously I'm out of practice for laughing and I'm in a lot of pain that I don't think I'm going to fully recover from.
Do you think the face pain might have anything to do with that video that you texted me late last night of you putting your ceiling fan on really low and just putting your cheeks up to it? to the Lou Bega song The Trumpets, the failed follow-up to Mambo Number 5? Do you think it's less?
Mambo Number 6?
Okay. Hey, did we talk about how he tried to release his next big success the day Prince died? Like 11:20?
No, he did?
11:20 a.m. I get a big tweet from Lou Bega like, today's the day. What I've been working on for the last 15 years. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. It's a song for the times. This is my big return. And then 11:21, the news broke that Prince passed. And I don't think the album was ever, I think it got de-released or something. I could have dreamt this, Miel. Like, there's a lot of things that I say that are...
This sounds a lot like a Fleming lie, if I'm honest. A Fleming fib. A classic Fleming fib.
The Fleming fib.
I'm hitting the chorus.
Okay, that's my vanity plate.
Could have gotten around the title confusion if they just would have named it what it really is, which was Ew, What's Going On.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Ew. She really.
You what's going on?
I feel like, yeah, like this is like a great example of something that never got any notes from anybody, you know? Like, which, like, contains...
I mean, David Tickle tried, and he fucked it up, and then she got Jimmy to say, yeah, just do that demo.
Tickle didn't stand a chance. She's way too powerful. I mean, you can hear.
It's a classic Tickle Pickle.
It's an absolutely classic Tickle Pickle, yeah.
I feel like at this point I have to mention...
I read that David Tickle was pretty fickle when it came to tickling his own pickle.
Chris, remember when you were like, I don't do word plays, that's not what type of comedy I do, and then here you are, you can't stop, you're addicted.
Addicted to what? Podcasting with you?
To the shindig?
What did you say to me?
No, to the word plays. You were like, I don't do word plays, that's not okay, my cup of tea, and now here you are suddenly.
I said I don't do word plays, but what I do is write haunting children's lit about David Pickle.
Tickle.
My character is now David Pickle, Mio, okay?
You're punching up. Okay, no, I appreciate it. It's really in keeping with the theme of the podcast. I think you did the right thing. I need to mention now the video everyone has seen. I think it's He-Man. I want to say it's He-Man. I'm not very familiar with my cartoon lore. Singing the looped video, you know, where I said, hey, 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 hey. I feel like it's like I got a trap beat under it.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's like one of the Thundercats or something. Okay.
Something, yeah. I think everyone under like the mid to old range millennials, that's how they know this song, is that video.
It's really funny, yeah.
Personally, I know this song from... I was at Sacre Coeur. Marissa's going to be so mad at me for pronouncing that so badly. On Easter... And it was like positively packed, and there was somebody playing guitar at the base of the big hill, and every single person was giving them their full attention. And I was like, man, what is this song? It sounded pretty normal. And then all of a sudden they went, and I said, and then like 1,000 Easter going folks in their Sunday best. Hey, yay, yay. I mean, in every language, they all knew it, which I guess really speaks to it hitting number one in apparently all of Europe.
It's a real exercise in letting go vocally.
Right. She just got, and I said, hey, yeah, 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 yeah. It feels bad and good.
She's exercising a lot of sins from her ancestors.
You know what I've heard? If you do a queer exorcism, this is what the priest says. Not the power of Christ compels you. He just puts his hand on your head and goes, and I said, hey, yeah, yeah.
Are you talking about like conversion camps?
No, the opposite.
Oh, this is to got it.
When you're queer but you're having a hard time letting go of all that repressed homophobia, this is how they exorcise those demons.
I've heard this is also in a lot of hippie towns, just what the sound the baristas make when the espresso machine's broken.
I have to go. I'm going to take a quick break. And we're back. Are you ready to get into... What can only be described as the post-coitus of the song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the refractory period.
You thought she was done? Uh-uh. She needed two refractory periods because, you know, girls make each other, Mercer, bleep this word, a lot. It's just some queer intel. If you want to take that and pass it around. Ooh. Ooh. It feels good.
It's like a pig's refractory period.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Although I don't love that you're comparing queer women to pigs.
No, pigs have those 30-minute orgasms, so they, I assume, need maybe, maybe 6 weeks for a refractory period.
It's like really a gestation.
they need the month of February that's their refractory period. A pig's refractory period is simply February or février. As our French brothers and sisters would say.
Ooh. 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 I just love the also like the gall to keep that in, to be like, yeah, so what are we going to do in our four chord song that never changes? Do we need to, like, I think we should stall after the chorus before getting right back into verse two. All right, should
that's
we
confidence.
Like add any kind of solo or like melody? Nah, I think I'm just going to gently ooh, with like a hard glottal stop. Ooh,
it's ooh, like that koala video.
Ah, yes, the one on Twitter is like ooh, 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 ooh. I retweeted that with the caption "Me taking out my diva cup," and people were very mad.
They were mad at you for that?
It was too real. They weren't ready. I'm hitting verse two.
And I try. Oh my God, do I try?
This is her taking out her diva thermos.
All the time in this institution.
Verse two, she did not come to play.
That's her taking out her diva thermos and then her diva trough.
That's something happened gutturally in my body hearing her sing like that, that it like hit my cervix. Like it's like that's the part where they take this the tissue sample during the pap smear. That's the same noise I make. Oh my God, do I try?
That's the sound you make? Those
oh
words?
Oh my God, do I try? The speculum was just like slightly too big.
What are you talking about trying during that? It kind of reminds
because
me of when...
Because they're always telling you, like, slide down. Okay, slide down the table more. And you're like, I literally
oh
cannot.
God, oh my God, did I try? And you didn't. You couldn't slide. It reminds me of when, like, certain A-list actors give really irresponsible line deliveries that they can only get away with because they're A-list.
Nicolas Cage is who we're talking
about. Son of a bitch. Yeah, or like Pacino with "She's Got a Great Ass." That whole thing. Have you heard that?
Uh-huh.
Wait, let me see. Can I look it up real quick? Okay, wait.
Yeah. In fact, wait. If you want me, I could play it in real time. I have the system set up that can play off Safari.
Why'd I get mixed up with that bitch?
Because she got a great ass.
And then compare to,
oh my God, do I try it?
it's like that's not really, it doesn't really, that's not really the human way to say that, but I guess if you did it, okay, that's kind of fun, you know.
I think that like it is the same place that Al Pacino got to in that scene is where the patriarchy gets every woman to at some point, invariably, when she just can't she just can't pretend anymore that like it's fine and we're breaking the glass ceiling. She's just like, fuck, God damn it.
Did you see his eyes bugging out and he loses himself and he starts trying to say but, like, you can see him trying to hit B, but he loses himself so much and then he just abandons the butt. Oh my God, the pause. It's so good. It's so good.
And then verse two continues.
In this institution, and I pray. Oh my God, do I pray? I pray for sanctity.
Wow.
For revolution.
Okay. That is a woman getting ejected from a TGI Fridays.
Revolution!
That note, that scoop, you don't think she's going to do it, and then she does. And I feel like vocally that's the equivalent of like firing a torpedo.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't think, Linda, if I can gather one thing about your whole vibe here, I don't think you pray, and much less every single day.
Yeah, she prays to Ricky Gervais. But no, she was at the top of definitely in the rainforest canopy making that sound.
Oh, that's a howler monkey energy.
She's warning. Yeah, she's warning others.
100% correct.
Yeah, she's warning other steampunks.
That is the modern Twitter equivalent of Christopher Maloney tweeting that like thirst trap with his shirt off. Tonight we ride in hell, brothers. The revolution is upon us. Whatever the fucking caption is.
Get in the Jeeps and let's do this. I think that's what it was. Yeah. Yeah, I think you were the only one that retweeted that. I think it was like one retweet.
I retweet that every 3 months. It makes me laugh so hard. I feel like she had to perform that kind of, for lack of a better word, in a 3008 technique, because we had to be distracted from the fact that the music is the exact same still.
Oh, so you think she's just raising the stakes?
Yeah, she had to give us, like, she had to sprinkle a chocolate chip in there for us to be like, ooh, what's that? And get distracted away from just that strumming guitar, incessantly strumming.
I read that David Tickle actually suggested she hang upside down from a chin-up bar to give that kind of a...
In those boots with the clamps.
What's that song? Looking at her in those boots with the clamps.
You're thinking of Flo Rida? She got them boots with the clamps. Yeah. Shorty got them apple bottle jeans.
Where's yeah, that the about steampunks?
Shorty got them apple bottom jeans, boots with the clamps.
She got those ski goggles on.
The whole club was looking at her. Why is she wearing boots with the clamps at the club?
Amy Sherman Palladino looking at her. Boots with the clamps, with the clamps.
I'm getting into the pre-chorus. Into a closer time when I'm lying in bed just to get it all out, what's in my head. And I'm going to cry that time. A little peculiar. Now this is where she positively goes off the rails. Into a Who does that sound like?
I think it sounds like you when you introduce your guests.
Yeah, maybe I learned everything I know from that one line of What's Up by Four Non Blondes.
Also, just the name Four Non Blondes is so cutting.
It's because I think they were from San Francisco and they wanted to be like subversive against California culture or something like that.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it reeks of like, fuck you. I'm going to hang upside down from a chin-up bar and sing this.
All right, we ready for this? Basically, the song, the rest of the song is just the more of the same. We're just going to listen and vibe. You ready?
Oh, you want to vibe with me?
I'm going to vibe with you. Are you? Is that okay? Do I have your consent to vibe with you?
Let me put on my chapstick. Yep, I'm ready. I'm driving home from a bad night right now. What's going
on? For some reason, it's a bonfire.
Yeah, to me, it's like, it's over. You know, that's how it feels. But it's something nice about it.
Ooh, you know what I would love to implore the Punch of the Jam Twitter heads or Instagrammers to do? This is a great idea. I stand by this. I want you to recut.
You just sounded like an undercover cop.
Well, I don't have to answer that. What I want them to do is I want to see that scene from Portrait of a Lady on Fire, the bonfire scene where they all start singing.
Oh, the coven?
Yeah, but I want it to be this song that they start singing. And I said, hey, yeah, yeah. Yep, that's what I would like to see. Please tag me in that. I would like to see it.
I love that part. That part is like... Something
all I could make out was fish. I think they're saying fish over and over again.
Yeah, what's the guy who, from Fish? Trent something?
Think for one second I know a single fucking member of Fish.
Oh, yeah. Okay. If you don't, then you are doing so many mental gymnastics to forget about Trey Anastasio, of course. Okay. That's who was the... he did the music. That's what a lot of people don't know about. Portrait of a Lady on Fire is the soundtrack, even though it's two songs, is Trey Anastasio from Fish. And it's a lot of it was 6-hour jam sessions that showed no signs of end. That's my big existential fear is jam bands. Did you know that about me? Because it's like, when can we go home? Is this my life? Speaking of Fish,
what
do you think? You know how like people, this is my big fear of doing psychedelic drugs.
Do you think, like, you know how, like, you ever meet someone who's, like, really done, like, a little too many psychedelics?
Yeah, of course.
And they think fish is, like, so profound, probably because they've done a lot of damage to their central nervous system. Maybe that's not true. Which do you think is worse? I've been toying with this. Staying in your house and doing, like, acid every day for, like, 5 months? Or one clown class?
So let me just get this straight. You screeched mid-clip for me to stop so you could ask this question.
I would have done this over. I thought I could do this over. I was going to do it over the clip. Like it wasn't even. I was.
Oh.
That's
Jungle Cat.
She threw up. She threw up. Yeah, it's going. That
yeah,
is
I heard. I heard the noise. Casual splash onto David Tickle's jeans on that. Tickle said, "Yikes! Keep it going, though. If she's spewing that casual, we got ourselves a hit in Norway." David Tickle says, "If my lead singer isn't casually vomiting by verse two, then I'm not even going to mail this to Europe."
I mean, technically, I think that was our allusion to a bridge. It was just like a gentle counter melody, but the same thing. And then all that's left is just like a 43-second outro in which she kind of repeats the first verse. I mean, literally, the song is extremely repetitive.
Yeah, yeah. But that's confidence. But I think, don't they get like the entire staff of an Anthropology to kind of like sing some stuff in the background towards the end here?
Club Monaco, but close.
Yeah, Club Monaco. That's right.
Are you ready to let it wash over you like they're 2-for-1 chinos?
Yes.
This is not refractory. Ooh. This is now, they're about to start again. That was foreplay.
25 years and my life is still trying to get up back. Great big hill of hope for a destination.
I don't know that it earned the slowdown strum at the end, but I can't hear this song and not get extremely on board. So something was done very right here.
Well, what that was actually Linda had broken into David Tickle's home. It was a home invasion, and he opened the shower, and she was just in the shower, kind of curled up like the guy in the beginning of The Sixth Sense, and she was just singing that. Can I ever tell you about my three-way mirror that I used to have?
A three-way mirror?
Yeah, it's like what they would have in an department store. When I used to work at the Ann Taylor Law flagship store, when I was taught to wardrobe clients, you would put your hands on their shoulders, and you would speak to them through the three-way mirror and talk to, like,
oh, I so when you say, you don't mean a three-way mirror, you mean a mirror that has three angles.
Right. No, a three-way mirror is.
You're looking through it at someone on the other side,
and then four-way is Christ.
Okay, so what is it about this? It's a three-way mirror.
Oh, right. So I truly got rid of it in my old place because I would get out of the. You ever scare yourself when you get out of the tub?
Every time.
Because I thought it was the Heim sisters. Coming to tell me about all where to get all the dopest taco trucks in Atwater Village. And I was like, oh, no, it's just auntie.
I thought they were going to ask you where you got your huarachas and if they were vintage.
Wait, was that the whole song now?
That was the whole song.
That was so quick.
Wasn't it so fast? I know, it's because it's the same. It never breaks. You're just like, it just starts and then you're in this like lesbian trance that, frankly, I'm not complaining. I love living in a lesbian trance, but then it ends and you're suddenly like, what day is it? Where have I been for the last 45 years? It's like Jumanji, you know? It's like, what year is it? That's how I feel when the song ends.
I know. I feel like it's almost like that old story about the devil tucking you into his hammock for a long nap, you know? And like, you know, you accidentally sleep for 9 years. Like, I feel really, really relaxed right now.
Okay, what fucking New England version of Rip Van Winkle did you have as a child?
Everything was devil related.
You had Rip Van Tickle. It was the David Tickle story.
Yep. Yeah, it was Rip Van Tickle. Rip Van Tickle. Dora the Explorer instead of Swiper, it was the devil. Yeah, there were a lot of devil just replacements in our folklore, or just in our media.
Do you have any new thoughts on the song now that you've listened to it so critically?
No, but Rob Moose probably does.
Look at you on your final viewing. Not what I meant to say. On your final, I can't think of the word I was trying to say. You finally got the segue. I've never had a guest segue for me. Oh my God.
After spending 72 hours in my home, Jack Skellington style, trying to translate the lead vocalist's shrieks into solfege, I arrived at a jarring but exciting conclusion. But first, we have to consider the post-pre-chorus. What hurts me and my family most during this blatant pissing match with the Dorian mode, unusual even for the genre of Pete and Pete wet folk, the aural parkour they try to pull off here. The logical step, of course, would be to go to the relative minor, but these dumpster divers keep it on the tonic, which sonically makes you feel like you're about to see a fight break out at a Renaissance fair. It's also what makes this song an anthem for your friends, way older siblings who've always rubbed you the wrong way, and you've never been able to quite tell why. Now, wrapping up, the beat has a real Vermont fuck it nature to it. Ben and Jerry actually are playing the snare rim hits, each one holding a waffle cone, ponytails flopping in the wind. This incredibly lonely snare rim hit, played by lesbian ice cream moguls Ben and Jerry, can't help make you feel like the lights are being turned on after a long singles night at a Golden Corral, and you're the only one left, going absolutely hog on a rotisserie chicken. Blood in your eyes, belt on the ground. But to say it's not also borrowing from Christian youth group Open Mic Rock would be a lie punishable by firing squad.
Chris, I, on the one hand, hate this, and on the other hand, I'm really going to miss this when you're not here anymore.
That wasn't me, Miao. I was just sitting back. That was Rob M. That was the moose.
God.
Oh.
My body hurts. Okay, I need to take a long, long nap after that. You motherfucker, I'm hitting this.
I never thought I'd say this, but this song is really interesting. Part of that is because of how mundane it seems on the surface. Stiffly played acoustic guitar, cafe-style drums, roving folksy bass, a chatty electric guitar. We'll also hear the same three chords played for the entirety of the song, and nothing transformative happens in the arrangement. Of course, the major wild card and point of distinction here is Linda Perry's voice. On first glance, one might say she takes kind of a spoken approach in terms of the syncopated and unpredictable rhythms she employs. But her note choices, however unpredictable, are also quite poignant, so I'm reluctant to reduce it to that. The song is a bit of a love letter to the note C sharp. It's the first note she sings in the song, 5 times in a row, in fact. And it's the anchor, first and highest note she sings of the pre-chorus and the chorus. She whispers it, she belts it, she blares out the phrase, "get real high" on the note. And it's not as simple as it being the top of her range, as by the end of the second verse, she's summoning her inner Janis Joplin to produce an E above it. I think she chose to focus on this note because of where it falls within her range. Easy enough to hit in a quickly flipped falsetto. Expressive when slid into from an adjacent note. Screamable, but without the accompanying distortion of notes above it. Now, what about these various sections? I'm calling the pre-chorus the section where she sings, "And so I cry sometimes when I'm lying in bed." And the chorus is where she repeats the word "hey." Aren't they pretty similar? I was starting to wonder, what about the chorus justified its own presence? Like, why did we need to go a step further? I think it has to do with rhythm. The pre is amazing, but even though it's declarative, something about its presentation is questioning, in the sense that it feels unresolved. It dances around the beats a lot, and it pauses in unexpected places. In short, it doesn't fully land. When we reach the chorus, we leave the narrative for the moment, arriving at a chant on a more predictable and anthemic rhythm. you can visualize people waving their hands back and forth over their heads or straining to hit that high note with their eyes closed. There are a couple other factors that really distinguish it as a chorus. Firstly, she does the same exact thing two times in a row for the first time in the song. The second aspect comes from the band. Did you notice that it feels a bit better here all of a sudden? Finally, the drummer is using sticks and hitting his snare drum on the backbeats. We like that. Also, the lead guitarist has relinquished his role as siren commentator and adopted a much-needed herd mentality here, lending a gritty tone to a more rhythmically insistent approach. Even more simply, though, the tempo has kicked up a couple notches. When the song begins, they're at 128. The verse is up 1, the pre-chorus is up 4, and the chorus clocks in at 135 beats per minute. I have absolutely no beef with this at all. The tempo notched up a small amount over 90 seconds, egged on by the emotion of the song, unimpeded by click tracks or any outside commentary. I also really like that they get away with it because of the way the song ends in that swingy rhythm, slowed down partial verse. There's no easy way to compare where the song begins with where it ends up. A lesson for us all.
Okay.
Real quick, who's the child ghost that Rob hires to play his piano?
That's Rob, baby. Rob's playing all of that. I'm really speechless about that tempo thing. That's insane. Wait,
is that, yeah, wouldn't that be really unsettling? And also, 135 sounds way faster than what isn't it slow? I'm really confused. Okay.
So he's just saying it gets like progressively faster between the first verse and the chorus, which I have to assume must be the product of recording as a band. But it's so, I mean, I would never, unless you compared hard cut against hard cut, how would you ever catch that? Rob's, I don't know how he even thought to look for that.
He must have taken some blood work. Yeah, that is some Linda Perry, David Tickle blood work. But like, I mean, the way that she is singing on like the verses, everything after the first verse does seem like very strangely timed and maybe a little more frantic.
Yeah, this is, I think it really speaks to the power of this song being like purely mood, vibe, energy. Like there's nothing about it necessarily structurally that you could really recreate. Like that subtle speed up, the way she doesn't really ever repeat how she sings something.
Yeah, I heard a cover of it looking it up and it was really, really bad. It's like really hard to, perform it.
I don't know how you could. I mean, there's something so, I don't know. Trying this at karaoke, maybe. We could. I don't know. Do you have any ideas for the punch-up on this one?
No.
All right. Well, that's a show. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Well, I'll figure something out, and I will
We'll talk about it. I'm not just going to leave you hanging. I mean,
you're going to do it with me?
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Woo! Wait, sorry. No. Ooh.
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 Ooh. Fuck yeah. Okay, let's put it in here.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now for world premiere of the...
Chris did something, and he will tell you what he did.
This is What's Up by Four Non Blondes, except it's if Linda Perry had an insatiable urge every morning to wake up her entire neighborhood in full steampunk regalia. And fight this urge.
Every morning I'm wearing a top hat that I made out of materials that I stole from the Joann fabric. People tell me that my morning routine is unusual. It's not coffee or a tea. I'm much too social. And so I cry sometimes when I'm lying in bed. And I put ski goggles on, the top hat on my head. And I'm feeling like a steampunk rooster. And so I wake in the morning and I lunge outside and I take a deep breath and I slap my Linda thighs and I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on?
And my neighbors say, hey, hey, Linda, could you keep it down? We've all got jobs. It's 5 a.m. Our dogs are barking. Cause your screaming conversation starters to no one. Dressed like the Babadook.
Yeah, ma'am. So, again, we're tired of coming here this early in the morning. Just, you have so many noise complaints.
Maybe scream in the woods, Linda, not the cul-de-sac.
Just please stop asking your whole block open-ended questions at this hour. It's really not that hard, okay? Ma'am, you're not really hearing us right now. You're just saying ooh right now.
Babadook.
Hey, what are you talking about, the Babadook? Please go back to bed.
Can I try? Oh my god, do I try?
Can you please get off of our police cruiser?
I try all the time to go back to bed, but I can't. Oh my god, I just can't. My FOMO is too bad. I've got morning FOMO.
Alright, Linda, if you're gonna keep screaming, we just gotta take you in.
And now I'm going downtown to the police station for noise complaints in the cul-de-sac, because I wanna do a morning icebreaker.
Yeah, I guess let's put her in the drunk tank. There's really
and
no
so
other
And so I spend the day in the drunk tank, cause there's no designated sun for morning screamers. And the next morning at 5 a.m., the boys in blue drive me home.
All right, Linda, let's take you home.
I put my head at the cruiser window and I yell, hey, hey, good morning, world. What's going on? And the cops say, Jesus Christ,
Linda. You're committing the exact same crime directly in front
directly
of us again.
Directly in front of us again.
How many times can Amy Sherman Palladino bail you out? This is why most neighborhoods don't allow a rooster.
And I said, well, maybe my mom was a rooster. And maybe my dad was not Babadook.
Linda, roosters are male. They can't be moms. But I believe the part about the Babadook.
25 years for all the noise complaints. I'm happy to serve the whole time if I get to wake up all the inmates. The judge gave me 25 years for 25 years of noise complaints and disturbing the peace in my cul-de-sac. Can I still wear my top hat?
And that's what we did. The Chris Fleming finale of the Punch-Ups. That makes me sad.
Yeah, it's making me realize, too. I don't like endings at all.
I don't either. I feel like we're graduating high school. As we go. Well, wait, great segue. Unpunchable Jams.
Can't punch this.
Chris, for your final. For your
is
final.
That both, that's both of ours. Could you stop telling me it's my final? Like, I don't like this at all.
We're both choosing vitamin C graduation.
And we're both going to give it the same description. Yeah.
What's your final Unpunchable Jam? I'm sad now. I made myself sad. Go.
What's yours? You tell me yours first.
I'll go first. Okay. Well, I wanted to keep it gay or queer, and I chose another all queer female band, which at one point I believe Four Non Blondes was. I'm choosing Muna.
Yes.
And I'm going for number one fan.
Yes.
And I turn around like, oh my god, like, I'm your number one thing, so I call it baby, baby, stand baby. I would give my life just to hold your hand. I'm your number one fan, I'm your number one fan.
I love this song! It was on the playlist I just made. I think I made that on the main feed as well, so maybe you've heard it already, but...
I love it.
Oh my god, it's the best song to run to dance to groove to. It just feels like... Feels like I'm in a nightclub and I like...
So I heard the bad news.
I love that beginning.
Nobody likes me and I'm gonna die alone in my bedroom. I mean, any song that starts that strong, I'm like, I'm listening. Please go on.
They start their songs so great. There's one song, I think their first album starts off with like with no instrumentation. Then one just saying, there's a few bad things I've done.
I read that they started as like a ska band.
Oh my God. Did you ever try to start a ska band? I did.
No.
Yeah, no, neither did I.
You so instantly went, did you ever try to? I did.
Nah, I guess.
Same breath, same sentence.
Nah, if you didn't, then I guess I didn't either. All right, my unpunchable jam. Well, no, keep talking. What do you like about number one
fan? It's your turn. It's your turn. Go.
Did you just hear a blood-curdling scream in my yard? Okay. I think I was.
It's Amy Sherman Palladino.
Wait, that is actually really haunting. Oh, yeah, it's just Amy Sherman Palladino in a top hat. I love. Steampunk is so funny because it's like, I'm going to dress like this, but don't look at me.
What's your unpunchable jam, Chris?
I'm going to dress like what they imagine the apocalypse to look like in the 80s, but don't even think about making eye contact with me. Okay, my unpunchable jam this week, Mel, for my final thing before I am frozen in time, before I'm put in the harbor, is it's What Happened to Us by Shura. It's just like one of those absolute planetarium hits that it puts me right in the jade realm where I belong. That's all I have to say about it.
Sure. It's funny. I think our Spotify algorithms must be identical because I looked it up and I'm looking at the album art and I'm like, oh, you mean the artist that's constantly showing up in my daily mix. Got it.
Oh, I've been using your Spotify.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I couldn't figure out why I keep stopping.
Yeah, just to cut corners financially for myself.
Yeah, everyone's hit hard right now. I get it.
Yeah, I'm just using your Spotify for a little time. I'm also using your Quicken. And your Quibi account.
I don't want to cut you off because then that means this is over.
That is one of the more romantic things I've ever heard anyone say to me.
I'm a nice girl, it turns out. Who knew? Chris, thank you so much for doing this with me. It made my life so much easier not having to find guests for 3 weeks that have mics and can record from home.
This indentured servitude has been a blast for me, and I love it. I loved it.
How do you feel about it? Do you want to give like a commencement speech before we send you off?
No, I think that is really dark. You want me to just...
Yeah,
no.
I do.
You want me to just give an address
listen,
before
I'll sing, I'll
go
sing
into
the
shadows?
I'll sing in the background, okay? I'll sing and then you do your speech on top of it, okay? Who can say where the road goes?
I want to thank everyone
the day flows,
who helped me through this.
Time.
There's a lot of stuff that Miel has cut from the podcast where she's been. A very cold and angry figure. She's been breaking a lot of ping pong tables. She says, Chris, no one needs your jokes.
No.
People are here for the jams.
Yes, that's true.
So in a way, I'm happy to be set free. Mostly, are you doing a tritone? But mostly, ooh, Ken.
Finish your sentence. Where does it all
But I'll be back next week on Punch Up the Jam.
If you haven't already, follow Chris on everything. He is one of the most fun people to follow online. Chris Fleming, Chris Fleming.
Did you really just say one of the most?
Do you want to be number one? I'll be number one fan. So I heard the bad news.
Everyone follow Miel at mielmonster.com and at Miel on Twitter.
Or Punch at the Jam. We should post. Wait, take a picture of yourself right now. Let's post it as the Instagram pic for this episode.
Sure.
Take it right now. Ready? We'll take it at the same time. Ready?
Okay.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. And that's the picture. I will post on the Instagram at Punch of the Jam. Chris, thank you. I will see everybody next week. Bye.
okay, that was
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Hey!
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.